Alrighty, good afternoon, everybody. This is J.D. Moore, hosting in for Bob Akhayeri. I am one of your normal co-hosts. Joining me today is Sirius. He is going to be coming along as my co-host as we have a very exciting chat coming up here with North Dakota State Athletic Director Matt Larson. Matt Larson has been the head man over at North Dakota State since 2014. And he's overseen a significant amount of improvements. He has overseen a significant amount of championships in football, expanded the sport catalog significantly with the Bison. We're very excited to talk with him once he hops in on here. Sirius, how are you doing here today?
Doing great, JD. Looking forward to hearing what all the Bison have going on and how they're going to keep this run that they've got going.
Yeah, it's been an incredible run over this past decade. Numerous championships. They're now at 17 total football championships at the FCS level. They continue to be one of the most dominating college football teams at that FCS level. Just came off of their most recent national championship with a win over Montana State very recently in this last season. Going to try to defend that title once again. I see Matt is here now. I'm going to go ahead and invite him to come on up here and speak. But as we've said before, we are very excited to welcome Matt Larson, Director of Athletics with North Dakota State. He is a guy who has a very strong finance background, the former CFO of Stony Brook Athletics. He even played football for a couple of years as a wide receiver for Stony Brook. And Matt, I see you are up here on the stage now. Friend, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on. It's great to join the group. Looks like there's a lot of folks joining us as well. So, no, good day in Fargo.
Excellent. Well, listen, I know you're coming off a really, really good day with a Bison fan day happening not too long ago. Everybody seems super revved up about the Bison defending their national title. What's the mood like in Fargo these days with training camp happening and football right around the corner?
Well, we've been incredibly fortunate, really going back in most of our history. We have an incredible fan base that supports us so well, both with coming to games from a philanthropic standpoint, and just there's a ton of passion. And as we get closer to the kickoff of the fall season, that passion and really the excitement continues to raise here in Fargo. And really fortunate last night to have fan day, as you mentioned. We probably had about 1,500 fans come out and get an opportunity to watch a walkthrough on our new outdoor field. We're building a new football complex, which has an outdoor component and indoor practice facility component. And so fans got a chance to come out and watch the team do a walkthrough last night and then just get them and autographs and just get ready and excited for the season coming up. So it was a great night, and it's always a good opportunity to get a chance to interact with our fan base. But like I said, incredibly fortunate that we have a fan base that cares so much and is just so passionate about Bison Athletics.
Talking about that fan support, I understand that North Dakota State has undergone some new facility upgrades, including a new performance complex for football. What have been some of those new improvements that the athletic department has, introduced over the past years?
Yeah, as you all know, facilities and the arms race is a big part of college athletics, and in particular in the upper Midwest here, where weather, particularly in the winter, can be a challenge. You know, having place to be able to train seamlessly for certainly for football, but for all of our outdoor sports is critical for our success. And so the past 8 years, we've had a bubble over our old football stadium in Dakota Field, and that served us really well. We put it up for 6 months in the winter, but as you can imagine, if it's 20 below outside, a bubble is essentially a big tent and becomes really hard to heat. And so a permanent practice facility was really important for us, and from a training and development standpoint, and also just keeping up with the world of Division I college athletics, and particularly at the FCS level. And so last summer we broke ground on a $50 million football practice complex, which has a couple components to it. We have an outdoor lit field that opens up into our new indoor practice facility, which has a full football field in there as well. There's also some netting available for our other teams to utilize that space, soccer, golfs, baseball, and softball. That is set to open on October 15th. This year, we'll get the indoor space. We've been utilizing the outdoor field the second day of fall camp, which started last week. And then right now we're getting ready to the footings have been poured for kind of the West Operations building that'll be attached to the indoor practice facility. That'll include a new weight room, a recruiting space, a training room, sports medicine area, a locker room, and some meeting rooms. And so when it's all said and done, I mean, it's going to be really turnkey for our football program and really one-stop shopping for our guys once they get over here, everything they need in one place. And again, like I said, Mother Nature can be a challenge here sometimes. So having that indoor and outdoor space right next to each other, you know, will be a huge benefit for us as we move forward.
It definitely sounds like y'all are keeping top of facilities to stay at the top of Division I football. And, you know, I am curious. I know that you just began a four-year term on the NCAA Division I football committee. What has that experience been like so far?
Yeah, it's actually been really good, and it actually piggybacks right off of I was on the Division I softball committee for a four-year term and was fortunate enough my last year to be the chair of that committee and then transitioned right into the FCS committee this past year. And the one thing I've always said, I mean, it's been an incredible experience. Encourage, you know, folks, if they have an opportunity to be part of a national selection committee, it's well worth it. Now, that being said, it's a lot of work. You watch a lot of games. You're really dialed into the sport for really a 12-month period in terms of making sure that you're putting together the best field in conjunction with the other committee members. And I always said after my first year of being on the softball committee, and this carries through football, is just I have an incredible amount of respect now for when those brackets get released, because you really get an inside look of just all the data, all of the debate that goes on, again, with the goal of, you know, the committee to try to select and build the best bracket they possibly can on a given year. And so, like I said, a lot of hard work that goes into it, but very enjoyable. Fortunate to be on the FCS committee with 10 other ADs that I have a ton of respect for around the country that represent all of the other AQ conferences across FCS. And so it's a really good group. And like I said, we're motivated to build a great bracket. We think, you know, the FCS playoff system is one of the best systems in college athletics in terms of just deciding a champion. And so it's great to be a part of that.
Matt, you know, right now there's a lot of talk with the FBS side about expanding the playoffs. Can you give us some insight now that you're on this committee, what it's like for the FCS playoff? Because it is an expanded field compared to what we're seeing right now with the college football playoff, with just having four teams. And the, you know, the upsides and the downsides you see with the expanded field that FCS has.
Well, I think there's certainly more upside than downside, you know, in terms of having access to a championship. You know, one of the nice things about FCS is there's an AQ. You know, every AQ league has an opportunity to participate in the FCS championship. And so, you know, that mirrors the rest of the NCAA championships, and I think there's real value there. I think there's also value in outside of the AQs, you know, there's also a number of at-large opportunities. And so, you know, when you're looking at a 24-team bracket versus a 4-team bracket that FBS has, you know, you get a loss or two, your chances of the college football playoff go out the window. And so what's great about, I think, the FCS committee is a lot more goes into strength of schedule, how you build your schedule, quality wins, and some of those things as you're vying for one of those 13 at-large opportunities. And so, you know, I think there's some people that probably say that, you know, maybe all the AQ conferences shouldn't have access, but I think it adds to the value. Otherwise, a lot of it, we'd be playing a lot of the same teams. And so the opportunity to get to play teams around the country, pretty exciting. I think if you looked at the college football playoff, the FBS level, it's, you know, basically there's been six teams that have been vying for those four slots probably over the last number of years. And so not a lot of diversity from that standpoint. But I think if you looked at the 24-team bracket that FCS has, there's a lot of movement within those. And, you know, there's folks, and, you know, we've been fortunate to be in the playoff bracket for the last 12 years, but there's opportunities, and you're seeing a lot of new schools who are investing in football at the FCS level break into the bracket. And so to me, it's a great time of year. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, it's a lot more games in the years where we've made it to the national championship game. You're adding anywhere from 4 to 6 more games onto your schedule. And so there's that piece to it. I know that a lot at the FBS level, there's concern of playing too many games. But I think expansion, maybe not to 24, but if you could expand a little more, I think it opens up the opportunities for other teams, engages fan base for a longer period of time throughout the college football season. And so I think there's great opportunity, and it sounds like there's still momentum to try to move in that direction, and I hope they do.
You mentioned with the opportunities with scheduling and that strength of scheduling coming into play with Division I. I'm really curious, you know, NDSU hasn't done well with just FCS programs. They've also been well known for upsetting FBS programs in non-conference scheduling as well, including a few ranked ones. Mm-hmm. As a highly successful FCS program, how does scheduling a Power 5 game work for y'all nowadays? Do you have any issues with like ADs not answering calls or saying, hey, North Dakota State isn't an FCS cupcake, they're going to give us a game? What's kind of like that dynamic when you're trying to schedule that type of game?
It's definitely been a little bit of a struggle, and you know, and I think we're a creature of our own success from that standpoint, and because we absolutely, our fan base, our players, our coaches would love to have an FBS game on the schedule each year. We think there's great value there, opportunity to see kind of how your program stands up against FBS, opportunity for your fan base to travel to a different place and, you know, see a different atmosphere, interact with a different fan base. So there's, from our perspective, there's great value there. We've really struggled, I would say, over the course of the last number of years to sign those games. And I get it at some level. I mean, we've won 8 of our last 9 FBS games. 5 of those have been against Power 5 schools. I was ranked in 2016. And so to a certain extent, I understand it. You know, we're playing our first FBS game this year since 2016 when we played at Kinnick Stadium. We'll travel down to Tucson and play the University of Arizona. So it's absolutely been a challenge. And so we've tried to look at some other things. We've looked at destination games. We've looked at some other kind of special experiences for our players and our fan base in lieu of some of those FBS games. But I think if you ask me about what the perfect schedule looks like, it would have a FBS game on our schedule every year.
Well, that kind of begs the follow-up question of getting it. If you know, the incentive to get an FBS game on the schedule every year, is there any interest in North Dakota State making the jump up to FBS and having a full slate of those for the entire season, or is FCS going to be home?
Well, I would say this. I mean, we've been incredibly fortunate at the FCS level. We transitioned to Division I from a Division II program back in 2004. And, you know, since we've been eligible for the playoffs, have been fortunate to basically compete in 12 out of those 13 years and have had some success in the playoffs. And so, I mean, FCS has been great for the Bison. We've developed some great rivalries, although a fair amount of those rivalries have left and gone to FBS. And so, you know, I think we're like a lot of the rest of the college world in terms of right now there's so much uncertainty within our industry in terms of what's the future of the NCAA, what's the future of college football, what's the future of Division I, FCS versus FBS. And so there's a lot of moving parts right now. And so kind of our philosophy, I think, has always been, and this probably goes back to even when we were a Division II institution, is, you know, we're going to continue to invest and prepare ourselves for the best opportunity for NDSU. And so that's why we've spent in the last 6 years, we've spent about $110 million in facility upgrades. We've added cost of attendance to our programs. We've continued to enhance our operations and our coaching salaries, which means if we stay in FCS, that's great. We'll continue to compete at a high level at the FCS. But, you know, depending on what the future of college football is or the NCAA, if there's opportunities that make sense for NDSU as an institution, I think you have to look. And that doesn't mean we're going FBS, but I think you have to continue to look in terms of what is best for your institution long term and not so much in the short term. And so that's something that we'll continue to do. And like I said, there's a lot of moving parts right now. And I think if anybody told you they had the answer of where we would end here, you know, I think they'd be lying to you. And so it's a little bit of a wait and see, but we're going to continue to invest in NDSU and try to build the best program we can and then see where the chips fall.
Matt, you spoke very much in depth about the investment of finances, facilities, increasing coaching salaries. But I am curious, what are y'all doing right now in terms of investing in culture and people as well at North Dakota State?
Well, I think, you know, culture, I think a lot of times becomes an overused word. And, you know, I'm a big fan of, you can talk all you want about culture. If you don't live it every day, then it's just talk. And, you know, we've been really fortunate. And this dates way back, certainly before Matt Larson got to NDSU, but we've been incredibly fortunate to have a really strong culture going back to our Division II days. You know, people don't realize we won 8 national championships as a Division II school, as well as the 9 we've won at the FCS. And, you know, you don't have success if you don't have good people. If you're not recruiting the right type of people to come to your school that are going to represent you the right well, that understand what it takes to win and the sacrifices it takes. And it's interesting. I've shared this with some folks, and you know, we got an opportunity. We hired a new president back in May, And we did a statewide tour of North Dakota for 2 weeks and got a chance to introduce our new president to our fan base and to our donors and the agricultural community, which is a big part of the state of North Dakota. And, you know, one of the things that's always resonated with me is, you know, as you go across the state, you know, and Fargo is probably one of the larger cities in the Midwest. But as you go across the state of North Dakota, you know, there's towns and cities that have 875 people in them. There's towns that have 1500 people in them. But a lot of what those towns represent is what North Dakota State represents. I mean, the hard work, the culture, dealing with adversity, all of those things that make those small towns really special is a lot of what makes NDSU special. You know, I tell colleagues that we don't spend a lot of time telling our kids you have to go to class. We don't spend a lot of time dealing with discipline issues. Our kids know that you're going to come here. There's incredibly high expectations to be successful, and you're going to make the right decisions while you're here. And you're going to have to fall in line to how we do things here at NDSU if you want to be successful here over the course of your time. And so a lot of that comes from, you know, Coach, great job of recruiting people, the right people that are going to fit our culture on the front end. But I think a lot of it goes to, we have incredible upperclassmen and senior leadership who constantly and consistently reinforce what it means to be a Bison. And that's what goes back to what I said earlier. You can say all these things, but if you're not living it every day and you're not holding each other accountable, you know, then it's just words. And so that's where I give our student athletes and our staff an incredible amount of credit. Like I said, you're only as good as your people, but it's about a matter of them holding each other accountable to a high standard. And I think our folks do that in a really good way.
Speaking of staff and the people, top down kind of impact that they have in the program, your tenure at North Dakota State started the same time that Chris Klieman got promoted and began his legendary run, and also when Matt Entz came in as defensive coordinator. Can you walk us through the process of promoting Matt up to head coach and kind of the behind-the-scenes groundwork that's really helped him succeed now that he's won two championships in his first three seasons as a head coach?
No, that's a great question. And one of the things I learned real early here at NDSU was just – how rich and deep our tradition and history runs. And, you know, I've been in college athletics for 26 years, and it doesn't take long to be around our football program to realize that it's different than a lot of other places. And it goes back to some of those things I just talked about accountability and standard and excellence and, you know, the things that again, I think make us special. And so I've always been one to think that to be able to be the head football coach at NDSU, I think you have to at some level been a part of our program. Whether you're a former player, whether you were a GA, whether you were an intern years ago, whether you're the defensive coordinator, because I truly believe that our program is different and the expectations are different here than a lot of other places. And I think you have to understand that coming into it. And so, you know, I have the fortunate privilege of being around our program on a daily basis and, you know, constantly watching our coaches, our assistant coaches. I like getting out to practice. I like to watch them coach. I like to go out into the D-line and see how, you know, Nick Gazer is coaching our DNs and our D tackles or whatever it might be. And so I had my first few years here had an opportunity to, you know, kind of watch Coach Entz as our defensive coordinator from afar and also up close. And, you know, he very much exudes and believes in a lot of the things that make really all the things that make NDSU pretty special. And so Coach Klieman left. A lot of it was really interesting timing, too. It was the Monday for our national semifinal game when he announced he was going to K-State. And it was also 7 days before early signing day. And so there were a lot of moving parts. And that's why I think, you know, if you ask most ADs, in particular for probably their revenue-generating sports, is the way things happen now, they happen so quick. You better have done your homework even before your coaches leave in terms of who you might be thinking, who's next on your list. And so I had the opportunity to sit with Coach Entz. She was in my kitchen of my house after practice. He showed up in a pair of shorts and a T-shirt, and we talked about why he should be the next head football coach here. And the biggest thing for me is you also get a chance to see how our players react to him, how he treats our players, the type of character he has, how he is around his family. You see all those things because those things to me are probably way more important than the X's and O's. But again, got to see him call our defense, which was one of the best in the country for a number of years and have great success there. And so I hate to say, I never say it was an easy decision, but it was as close to easy as it gets. And it's proved out. He's done an incredible job of leading our program and really not missing a beat and, you know, putting his own spin on things, but also understanding that there's certain things that'll always be part of Bison football. And he's maintained those.
On top of that success that he continues to see, you've been building up a lot of new facilities to improve that type of long-term success. How much, with your background in finance and fundraising, how much does that help with your leadership in supporting your head coach in doing the things that he needs to do?
Well, football success is critical to our whole entire athletic department, you know, from a financial and budgetary standpoint. A lot of the revenue that we drive on an annual basis is tied to football success. You know, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, we're a little atypical when you look at FCS funding models. You know, most FCS programs are a little more heavily subsidized from the institution. You know, somewhere 70% coming from the institution, 30% coming from, you know, externally driven revenue by the athletic department. And we're the exact opposite. You know, we get about 27% of our budget from the university, and then we're generating that other amount. And so I think that's one of the things that differentiates us a little bit, but also puts a lot of pressure and focus on being able to generate revenue and certainly balance our budget. You know, you mentioned facilities. In the state of North Dakota, any athletic facility that is either renovated or built has to be fully privately funded. So when I go back to the $110-$115 million we've done in athletic facility projects, that's all been privately raised through corporate sponsors, through donors, through alums. And, you know, again, that ties back to what I said earlier about passionate fan base. And so the one thing that's resonated with our fan base is that if you're going to continue to have success and sustain it, you have to continue to invest. You know, once you think you've arrived and you sit back and look at all the championships or those things, that's when people start to pass you by. And so our fan base has responded in a great way, whether that's through annual giving, whether that's through these season tickets, whether that's through supporting capital projects. So they've continued to invest so we can, you know, kind of keep moving the needle and staying at the top of FCS.
When it comes to finding alternative ways to generate capital so you can keep up with that arms race, obviously one of the things that comes to mind is the recent announcement of alcohol sales at athletic events, at football games, this upcoming season. Can you walk us through how that happened? Because it seems like it was, there were a few announcements that were kind of, you know, neck and neck in terms of who was going to get it out first.
Yeah, it's been, and I would say, you know, we're probably at a point now that we were probably one of the outliers almost of not having alcohol sales at their football games. And it's a conversation we've been having for a number of years. You know, I think we have one of the probably the best tailgates at the college football level. And, you know, our fans come out in droves and are really passionate, you know, leading up to pregame. And I think the biggest thing that probably got us over the hump with looking to add alcohol sales to the Fargo Dome really comes down to fan amenities and fan experience. And I think as you go to pretty much most college and or professional games, you have the opportunity to purchase a beer. And, you know, that was something that we didn't have here. And, you know, we're fortunate in some respects that, you know, the closest professional town to us is 3.5 hours away in Minneapolis. And so a lot of our folks, a lot of our fan base look to us as we're the professional team. But when they go to a Vikings game, when they go to a Minnesota Twins game, they can go in and have a beer. And so a lot of it's trying to keep up with other sporting event experiences that our fans are have the ability to participate in. And so for us, it got to the point where a little bit of a no-brainer that, and again, as we looked across and benchmarked our league, we were the only school in the Missouri Valley Football Conference who wasn't selling alcohol either exclusively in suites or both suites and general seating sections. And so kind of a combination of a bunch of things between fan experience and just we were a little bit of an outlier and just felt like it was the right step to go, right direction to grow. And certainly there'll be some new revenue driven from that standpoint. As you said, every dollar counts as you're trying to compete in college athletics. And so if this is another way for us to generate some revenue to help support our programs, then I think it's a positive thing.
Matt, I know one of the important things that's coming into your program as we've got the last 5 minutes here with you, you've got Rob Hipp. He is the new voice of the Bison. What can you tell us about what he's going to be bringing to North Dakota athletics?
You know, really excited to have Rob here. He actually he starts, I think, on the 15th of this month, but was able to get up here with his family yesterday, and he was at Fan Day and got a chance to interact with you know, some of our fan base. And, you know, and I've said this, and I said it during the interview process to the folks we spoke to, is that, you know, the voice of the Bison is very unique, I think, across the college athletic space in terms of probably their celebrity status across the state. But I think also the importance of being able to connect with our fan base. Again, we have a very rural fan base. You know, we're fortunate that we have 26 affiliates within our radio network, kind of spanning our entire state and even western Minnesota. But a lot of our folks, that's because, you know, they might be in the combine, they might be on the farm during certain times of year. And so being able to connect with that rural part of our fan base is really important. And so it's so much more than just calling a game. It really is connecting with our fan base in a lot of different ways. And, you know, Rob has had some great experience at Sam Houston State for a number of years, and I think brought some of those intangible qualities that we were looking for in the next voice of the Bison. He follows somebody who is an absolute superstar in Jeff Colhane, who went to Florida State. But Rob's got a lot of those same characteristics, same personality. He's excited. His family's excited to get up to Fargo and be a part of the Bison family.
Matt, we appreciate having you on. We'll wrap up with a question from user Tom Foster 1291 asks, how would you feel if North Dakota State agrees to play Bama, or even if Bama calls up and says, you know, we're in a bind, we got an open spot on the schedule, you want to play?
Would we play? You kind of broke up there a little bit, but did I hear, would we play Alabama if they called us?
if Bama, the user.
I would say we definitely would. And the sad part is with that is there's a fair amount of our fan base, and I love our fan base. They're awesome. But there's an element that are a little delusional that think that, you know, that we would go there, we would go down to Tuscaloosa and beat them. I mean, obviously I have an immense amount of respect for Coach Saban and Alabama. And I mean, they really are the standard in so many ways. But no, I think that would be a great experience for our guys. That would be an incredible experience for our fan base, to be able to go down there. And I mean, you talk about the unbelievable history that program has. So to be able to be a part of that on a Saturday in the fall would be pretty special.
Matt, I know that we had you for about 30 minutes, and we have very much appreciated you coming on to tell us a little bit more about what's happening with North Dakota State. Before we wrap up, I want to leave the floor open to you. What is exciting you about North Dakota State football for this upcoming season that somebody might not know about?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and I get this question a lot, is, oh, how are we going to be this year? And, you know, I think the thing that's always impressed me with our program is really the development of we're much more a developmental program. We don't have a lot of transfers that come into our program. I mean, every now and then. So I'm excited to see, not only do we have 14 returning starters, but we have some guys who have been in the program now for a year or two, came in as highly recruited or highly touted recruits. And now we're getting an opportunity to see them on game day and really get out there and do some good things. And so that's something I'm really excited about. It's always great to see those young guys and how they come in and, you know, put on 20 pounds of muscle and develop and learn our systems, which it's a really complex offensive and defensive system. And it takes a while. And so the opportunity for those guys to be able to step into, you know, a role where they get to be on the field a little bit more and in some more snaps. And so that's something I'm really excited about. Also excited about, as I mentioned earlier, this is our first FBS game in 6 years. And I'm confident we're going to have upwards of probably 10,000 Bison fans in green and gold down in Tucson. And so we travel really well. And I know it's something they've been looking forward to a lot. And so that'll be a neat experience for our fan base to be able to get down there and watch our guys suit up against an FBS team.
Matt, you know, my family lives out in Texas. We know what happens when you got that march of Bison fans coming in, especially when you head down to Frisco and turn that into South Fargo. Very familiar with how strong that fan base travels. And I'm sure you're going to see an incredible crowd in Tucson to take on the Arizona Wildcats. Matt, thank you again so much for spending a little bit of time with us. We hope that you have a fantastic rest of your day, and go Bison.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Once again, Matt Larson, the athletic director at North Dakota State, super appreciative of him coming on for a little bit to talk about the Bison and what's happening with their program, with their facilities, their upcoming football season. For Sirius and myself, JD Moore, this has been RCFB Talk 57 with North Dakota State athletic director Matt Larson. Thank you for joining us. And now I'm going to hang up and listen.